Gary Miller's here, this morning general manager of BTU. How are you today?
Doing great, Scott. How are you?
Well, I'm all right. You know, we really did, in many ways, dodge the bullet. You probably have some compadres who are in the utility business who are still trying to get the lights on places.
Absolutely. Yeah, this has been a wild, wild week.
Yeah, but your guys and gals were called out, did have to do a little action earlier this week.
We did. We had actually quite a few outages during the storms Monday, and so we had most of our staff out working in the rain and the lightning, and they did an excellent job for us.
Well, I know that out there, you know, now you can, of course, if you don't have power at your house, you can't necessarily maybe use your plug-in computer, but maybe a laptop or something, and you can actually see where the outages are now, huh?
You can. We have the outage map on our website, btutilities.com, that really does a very good job of showing exactly where all of the outages are and how many people in each area are out. And so if you have the opportunity, go look at that map during these events. It tells you a lot of information.
I guess we'll have that forever. You can have all the technological advances you want, but when the power goes, you know, when the wire gets knocked down, it's got to get reconnected, right?
That's right. That's right. Nothing we can do about that one.
That's it. Now, earlier this week, guys from BTU made a presentation having to do with the idea of, we've had smart meters for a while, but the idea of being able to prepay. But let's talk about smart meters for a minute.
Okay.
What does that tell you, the company BTU? What can that tell the customer that they maybe didn't have before that technology was available?
Well, it's really what it can tell the customer is what are you really doing on a daily basis? So our customers can go out to our website and see graphs and data around their daily consumption, and if the customer wants to, they can go out and look at that information and hopefully tailor some of their consumption to better fit their needs and better manage their electricity usage and rates.
And what does it tell you, the company?
Well, we have much more detailed data now around what our load patterns really are. So it helps us in planning to determine what infrastructure we really need to serve those load patterns, which are a little bit different than what we really thought was happening before we had these smart meters.
Okay, and like anything else, it's based on forecasts, just like the weather and situations that happen year in and year out. Okay. I understand the idea of the smart meters to get people to change behavior, but everything's indicated that it really doesn't very often, does it?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a kind of a double-edged sword. We have such low rates that, rates are what's going to drive people's behavior. And this is countrywide, really, that rates really are so reasonable that it's hard for a consumer to want to change behavior based on when the rates just don't drive that behavior.
Sure. Gary Miller joined us this morning from BTU. But I know that one of the indicators that has seemed to work to change behavior of individuals is prepay. You load this thing up and you can go and see, and when the tank starts getting empty, it might change your behavior. We used to have prepay here. Why did that go away? And then my understanding is that it'll be introduced again in the future.
Right. So our old prepay system was called PowerTrack. And the reason that went away was the company that produced that system went out of business. And for several years, we were scrounging to find parts to keep it going. And it got to the point where we just could not find parts anymore. So we had to scrap it. When we went to the smart meters, the AMI system, we had always intended to bring back prepay. The vendors that we use for this particular new system just aren't quite there yet. They are working on it, and that's what we told our board of directors and the council over the last couple of weeks, is that we are wanting to bring it back. We're just waiting for our vendors to catch up, and that should happen within the next year and a half, and at that point is when we will really get to work on bringing back our prepay system.
So as I understood it, Lakeland, Florida kind of has taken the lead on this thing. They're the alpha of the system, basically, and y'all kind of want to wait on the sidelines to make sure, with any alpha program, how maybe you can get all the kind of the spurs sanded
right
away.
Absolutely. They Lakeland, Florida just coincidentally has the same vendors that we do for the various systems, and that's exactly right. We'll let them spend the money on the development, and we were doing this last year. We elected to stop that process, and because Lakeland was a little bit ahead of us and they were experiencing some problems at that time. So yes, Lakeland, we're we're hoping that they are very successful and we can just kind of piggyback on what they're doing.
If things run according to what your timeline looks like, when do you think we might see prepay happen again?
So based on our current timeline, October of 2016 is when we will restart the project, and 5 to 6 months is our estimate to get it going. So spring of 2017 is our best guess at the moment.
Gary Miller joining us this morning. He's the general manager of BTU. We were talking earlier this morning about how last year we didn't have 100-degree temperatures, and really we're almost to June, and it's been okay. Now, we as customers like that. Do you as the provider like that?
Well, I would prefer 100-degree days from a business perspective because it you know, obviously brings in a lot more revenue than this type of weather does. We are able to manage either way, but it can make things a little bit more difficult for us. You know, we really plan for sort of an average weather. If we have anything outside of the norm of average weather, then on the cooler side, like we are now, it can cause us some issues. But we you know, our financial folks are very good at what they do, and they make sure that we're okay for regardless of what happens.
So if you can be generating power and we don't have to use it here, your regular BTU customers, you can put that out of the market and you can sell that?
We can, and we do that quite often, actually. We have enough generation to serve all of our load, and we will use that for that purpose when we need to. But when we don't need it all, we try to sell it on the market at a premium to what it costs us to generate. The flip side of that is we buy a lot from the market, but when it's cheaper than our generation.
Sure. Now, I know that one of the knocks, the concerns when the smart meters rolled out is people said, oh, well, if they do that, then we can start charging off-peak hours and on-peak hours. In other words, when people need power, you'll jack the rate up, and in the middle of the night, you might not. Is that something that could be done? Is that something that is being done in systems?
We have a time of use rate, and that's what that is. So we have rates designed.
That sounds so much nicer, a time of use rate. But okay, sure. Right. Go ahead. Yeah, well, yeah.
So we do have rates that are designed to allow our customers to take advantage of very less expensive energy prices during those off-peak times, like you mentioned, and then get charged quite a bit more during on-peak if they elect to use it during that time. We really don't have a lot of customers taking advantage of that, and I think it really goes back to the reasonableness of the rates in general, that there's just not a driver at this point in time for people to want to do that.
Okay, let's pull way back and get global, or at least ERCOT, Texas Grid. Let's hope we don't, but let's say we end up in a situation where Texas as a grid gets into a real problem. If you would explain the concept of rolling blackouts, and what does that mean, and how could that affect all utility, not just BTU customers?
Right. So during those types of events, it is not local to Bryan. So we really don't have the opportunity to kind of separate ourselves from the rest of the grid and provide to our customers from our generation. It's really all or none. So the ERCOT operator kind of mandates that if there's an event like that, that everybody share in the rolling blackouts, or in the load shedding is what we call it. And so that's what we will do. We will take some of our customers off and rotate them so that ERCOT as a whole is able to manage the load to match the available generation. And that's always a problem, is do you have enough generation to match what the load demand on the system is? And during those types of events, that's where there's not enough generation. So ERCOT reduces load by load shedding to the point where they can serve it with the generation that they have available to them.
Folks, you see how they've come up with these nice words, load shed. That sounds so much happier than a rolling blackout. How much advanced time do you usually have when you know that that's going to happen, when they advise you?
Almost none. When those types of events happen, it's generally it generally happens very, very quickly, like within 10 or 15 minutes, okay. And we just have to react.
Well, we hope it doesn't happen. And again, we were able to dodge it last year. And actually, I guess the last big problem we had was because of cold weather, not hot weather, right?
And generally, cold weather is the time that this happens.
Yeah.
Because things, you know, instrumentation freezes on generation units, caused them to trip. That's really generally what happens. Yeah.
Finally, let's, Gary Miller's here this morning. He's a general manager of BTU. Finally, let's talk about population growth in Texas. I mean, not just here in Bryan College Station, but all over the state. As any good provider would be, you want to look at maybe increasing your generation as time goes on. What are the decisions you have to take into account as you look at population growth in Texas?
So we are, that's something that we do all of the time, is forecast what our load is going to be, and we watch what ERCOT. ERCOT produces reports on a quarterly basis to determine, you know, as far as forecasts of load. And so we watch that. We also internally forecast our load and determine, you know, based on our current resources, when the time will come that we're not able to meet our load resources based on the generation that we have. So we are probably at least once a year doing a planning study to determine whether we need to add generation, what ERCOT's doing, because they're also putting that in the report as to what generation is supposedly going to come online. So we watch all of those things, and at least once a year we determine whether we need to seriously think about building new generation, buying generation from others in the market, because that's a possibility also, or other things. There are other ways to do this, but we are looking at all of those all of the time and trying to make that decision to the best economical advantage of our customers.
Well, BTU is part of the city of Bryan. If you decided that you wanted to spend money to build more generation, who makes that decision?
Ultimately, that's the board of directors in concert with myself and our staff.
Are there any federal regulations that are coming into play that are going to impact BTU and other utility providers?
The Clean Power Act, that's probably the biggest one, and the impact of the Clean Power Act, if it goes through, you know, as it is written, will probably impact our coal facility, Gibbons Creek. But we don't know what really the ultimate result of that act is going to be. There's a lot of things that are going to have to happen over the next couple of years. So I'm not too concerned about that one at the moment, but we are keeping a very close eye on it. Other than that, there's nothing really on the horizon at this point.
Okay. Well, that pretty much catches us up to speed of what's going on at BTU. Anything else in the city of Bryan news you want to share with us today?
I do. I've been asked by our communications group to make one announcement on the city of Bryan's summer reading program, if that's okay. What they've asked me to tell everybody is that registration is now open for the summer reading program, and you can stop by Mounts Library in Bryan or Ringer Library in College Station, pick up reading logs. The theme this summer is heroes, and there will be free events all summer long for all ages at both libraries, and you can find out more at bcslibrary.org.
All right. Gary Miller, he's the general manager of BTU. Thanks for the time this morning.
Thank you, Scott. Always enjoyed coming over.